At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. Reese, our content agent, wrote the copy based on our best practices, like mentioning Monday.com 3 times. That was the second. Johnny, our coordination agent, built the timeline and kept everyone aligned. Olivia, our human creative director, stayed in the loop. Because agents are great, but they don't always know when a joke lands. She had one note: tell listeners it only takes minutes to build an agent. So, minutes. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
Hockey. Hope you're enjoying the show on YouTube, Spotify, Amazon, Apple, iHeart. There's so many different ways to consume this game.
I did something different
last night as well. I expanded my reach to the game. Once or twice a year, I get to go to the games as a fan. It was a national broadcast in the United States last night, and I sat in my seats and watched the game. And what a wild one at T-Mobile Arena as the return of the Toronto Maple Leafs against Mitch Marner occurred. Marner facing his team for the first time, and it lived up to all the hype.
Did you paint your face?
I did not paint my face, but I did wear VGK gunmetal gray and gold.
So, like, do people come up to your seats and say, "Hey, Mallard," and all that stuff?
Yeah.
And
And
hey, why? What are you doing? You should be.
Why are
doing
you here? We never get to see you here. Why are you working?
I said. Yeah, and then you bring out the Sharpie and sign autographs all night.
I carry my own Sharpie, and I make sure that I have a black one and I have a gold one, just in case. Sometimes the black one won't show up on what they want to get signed. You got to make sure you're prepared, John. You don't want to leave the people like wanting more or disappointed. But it was where our seats are. It was great to be able to watch all the goals last night. A lot of them were just happened to be at our end of the night, and ends up being a comeback win for Vegas. But the teams responded. There was an intensity in the building last night between these two hockey clubs. The players are still friends, obviously, but it did feel like it meant a little more jump and sizzle than I expected.
Well, these two teams do skate. These two teams play fast. So forget about, you know, players. I mean, I was going to call it Nick Waugh night, but you obviously want to call it Martin.
Got a nice tribute?
Yeah, it's good. I hear you got a standing ovation.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. These two teams do play fast. And I'll tell you what, I can't imagine a better advertisement for NHL hockey than that game last night. It's, you know, and I know it started at 9 o'clock Eastern time. So by the time big events occurred, i.e. the Eichel winning goal, it was after midnight Eastern time. But man, oh man, this game had everything. This is one of those ones where if you could take this and send this to every prospective buyer of an NHL team saying this is what you're buying, I think the list would be endless for Mr. Bettman, because this it was as good as it gets. I can't imagine. Here's how good it is. I think this was a better sell for the NHL than the Olympics will be.
No, it was a great game, but the Olympics as a whole. Game.
No, because it's not the Olympics. Aren't the NHL? The NHL. This is a
I
great
disagree with
sell
you on
for
that.
The NHL.
Well, one game can't measure up to the Olympic Games.
Well, there's going to be a lot of bad games at the Olympics.
But the national pride and the focus on the team. And Jack Eichel will be at both, so he'll get a chance to participate in both. And he has it going on right now with another
Jack Eichel looked like a movie star walking in, too. See, I now, you know, this is where you know, boy, the dress code, you know, the whole thing. He walked in, he had an open collar, but he had a nice suit on, had the sunglasses going, walked in like he was coming off the Golden Globes, and then played like he was a star. But he was spectacular last night. He really was.
So Mark Stone either reached it or is knocking on the door of having a point in 90% of the VGK games this year. That is elite company. He has a point in almost 90% of the games. Only three other players have ever done that. Wayne Gretzky, Mario, and McDavid. That's what kind of year right now Mark Stone is having.
And things got a little heavy in the third period, he had a great third period. You know, his stick work was phenomenal. His tenacity was evident. That was as an intense a third period as you've ever going to see. It was fun to watch. It really was. I mean, if you're a Leaf fan, you're disappointed. But I'll tell you what, if you were in the building, and no matter what fan you were of which team, you got your money's worth.
A Leaf fan passed me, and he was so mad that Aiden Hill had thrown the check behind the net late in the third period. He was sour when the game was going to overtime. And then you had the winner by Jack with Austin Matthews in the neutral zone. What happened there?
You know, I noticed that right away. And I was actually, when we signed on, I was actually going to try to check how long that shift had been for Matthews in overtime. So,
and he had to come from behind the other net. So
yeah,
so it was a long check.
That second shift in overtime for Austin was a minute 16.
Yeah,
so and that's a long time. That's a long time. He was you could see he was out of gas. He had played almost 2 minutes of the overtime as it was. But there was no doubt that he had spent himself trying to score at the other end or getting an opportunity. And then by the time the puck got all the way down to close to where Joseph Woll was, he was done. He was done. I'm not blaming Austin Matthews for anything the way he's playing right now.
Vegas has won six in a row.
Yeah. This is a streaky season, huh? Such a streaky season.
Well, look at the teams right now. Vegas won six in a row. A couple of weeks ago, they'd lost five in a row. Boston's won five in a row. They'd lost six in a row over Christmas. Winnipeg's won four in a row, and we know where they were a couple of weeks ago. And Columbus just fired the coach, and they've won three in a row.
Two.
Three in a row overall. Oh, they won their last game with Dean Evason.
Oh, you're still giving Dean some credit, are you?
Of course I am. He's my buddy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he won't come on. We didn't come on the show, though. It's okay. We won't hold that against him much. And this is what Kenny Holland was talking about the other day when he was with us, trying to find a way to get on a little bit of a heater in order to try to secure a spot. It's phenomenal. And like last night, and Connor McDavid's streak ends at 20 games. Ilya Sorokin, Darren, and you were ensconced in face painting and watching the Golden Knights. Ilya Sorokin last night at Edmonton was spectacular, and the Oilers had chances. The Oilers,
Sorokin, by the way, Vezina caliber season right now.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you do wonder if he's getting more attention because now he's not the second best Russian goalie in New York, with Shesterkin being injured. You wonder if people are saying, well, that's Sorokin. He's really good now.
Yeah, he was getting some love before, but because he was out playing Sorokin.
But do you know that he now holds the team record for shutouts? Of all the great goalies the Islanders have had, he has more shutouts than Billy Smith. Did you know that?
Yeah, and I'm going to debate you again. I don't think the Islanders have had a long list of great goaltenders.
Yeah. You're not wrong. I had this conversation with you before.
I don't think the list is long, but I'll one-up you on that little bit of a fact. It was the first Islander shutout in Edmonton since, I think, game three of the 1983 Stanley Cup final.
Which was Billy
Smith.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. No, it's a, and well, look at Tampa's on a, Tampa, look at the streak that Tampa's on. They've won 11 in a row.
It's like a basketball game, but with your schedule, all these different runs, and you hope that you just time it right at the end of the season, or like a basketball game at the end of a game.
Well, you do wonder if people are not as concerned about peaking now and taking advantage of it rather than peaking in March because of the break. You know, try to bank as many points as you can now and pedal to the metal. Between now and February 6th, and then go from there.
That's why I was a little bit puzzled that Columbus made the coaching change, because there's so many ups and downs through the course of this season that I thought they would just give it a little bit more time. We got Don Waddell coming up in just a little bit, so I'll put that to him. Other stuff that happened last night. I think there was something that you could take from all the games last night, right?
This, you know, these are the dog days of the season, and yet here we were on a Thursday night, and the storylines are unbelievable and lengthy. I mean, the San Jose Sharks went into Washington and won again. I mean, and all of a sudden, this was supposed to be a transition year for the Sharks, and they have been much more competitive and now are becoming a factor in the Pacific Division. That to me is exactly what's happened with Ryan Warsawski's team. They're impressive. Every game had something. Every game had something going on it. The event last night in Boston for Zdeno Chara was spectacular. It's funny. There was one scene, and you can find it on YouTube. I might tweet it out later. There was one scene in the event beforehand where they were introducing the great alumni of the Bruins, including Orr and Cam Neely and a few others. And they introduced Johnny Busick. And Johnny Busick is aging. And Johnny Busick needs a walker. And here the Boston Bruins, current edition of the Bruins, are on their bench. And David Pastrnak helps Busick with his walker over the boards, through the door, and then walks with Busick all the way to his seat at center ice. That speaks volumes about David Pastrnak for me. That was just those are the little things that you go and say, that was just fantastic for what he did for Johnny Busick. It reinforces to me the quality of people that we have in the game. It was a moment. I don't think many people noticed it, but if you look hard, you can see Pastrnak helping him all the way to center ice. It was kind of cool.
Are the Jets back?
Too early to say. Connor Hellebuyck.
Won 4 in a row. Beat Minnesota. This was going to be a challenging game after they'd won a few in a row.
Well, and here's the other thing.
Taves has been great, by the way.
Four games, Jonathan Taves now has goals. It's more than winning faceoffs now. He seems to, since the break, and I think he admits this, since the break, he seems to have recalibrated himself. And he's, even though he's Captain Serious, his mindset is much better. And now with what Scott Arneil has done with the lines, and he's got Gabe Vilardi and Cole Perfetti, he's dragging Vilardi and Perfetti along with him. So all of a sudden, the Jets have that secondary scoring that they haven't had for 2 months. And they're playing well, but and Taves, you can see Taves on the ice. He's more engaged. He's pushing back. He's not afraid to go to the dirty areas.
No. His goals are coming from net front, but he's getting some bounces too, which has got to help.
But for the first 30 games, he wasn't getting any bounces. Darren, no, he was getting
buried on his goal last night, and which tells you the dirty area part.
I tell you what, though, the one thing I would say is, Minnesota, after the great start they had with Quinn Hughes, Minnesota has They've kind of tailed off a little bit. You know, they're 4-3-3 in their last 10. And they seem to be, in that, mindset right now that, Quinn can get us out of problems. Now, Hellebuck did have made a great save on Quinn on a breakaway, but, Minnesota, you know, we had almost anointed them as, oh yeah, they're as good as the Avalanche. They're as good as the Stars.
But Dallas has fallen off the pace too.
Yep. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. No, you're right. But that's the, that talks about, we talked about streaks, the swoons that people will go through. That's why this January, if you can start to bank points now, you might be able to take advantage of some key situations.
The key to every team is stop the dip at three. If you can stop it at three, maybe four, if you can limit it to, from getting into something that's pushing double digits, you're going to be okay. Every team's going through it. Colorado, even like, you have to sort of equal it out to other teams, but even they went through a little bit of a dip recently.
By the way, we should be giving the Pittsburgh Penguins some love too.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. And
another big win.
Another big win at home. Sid looked magnificent again. You know, the Flyers have lost four in a row. And
yeah, got swept in that Tampa Bay series.
At home. At home, Darren. So
do you like those series? LA's had a couple where they like a baseball series where you host the same team a couple of times.
No,
I do.
Okay. Well, you know, you could be wrong lots. I also don't like back-to-backs at home. You know, like
there's a lot of those this year.
And when we're talking back-to-backs, we're talking Tuesday, Wednesday, or we're talking Friday, Saturday. And I think that's really hard for the fan base. I know it's hard on the players. Don't get me wrong, but I think it's hard to the fan base. You know, we expect them to do it a lot in the playoffs, show up every second night. But I think that's really hard on try to expect people that are going to spend, if they go to every game, to go on a Thursday and we're back here 24 hours from now.
You're just having your schedule free, right? With everything that's going on in your life.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. It's hard. It's a tough thing. One can only hope with, even though it's going to 84 games, but we're adding probably 3 weeks to the schedule. One can only hope that we don't have another season like this next year, and we don't have another season like this ever again.
I've noticed it myself. Oh, yeah. Like you can tell in being inside the game and covering games and working games, it's extreme. And I know I'm not playing, but it's noticeable.
Well, I think what you understand with the players now is that they just stay focused on what they have to do. 82 games.
And no load management.
Well, that's not this sport. That doesn't.
No. But you, if there was ever going to be a year for it, John, it would be this year. And we haven't seen it.
We've seen it for a couple of guys who have come off of injuries, even this week.
But that's different, right? Like, you're not taking guys out to manage their minutes.
No. But that, again, that's just not in a hockey player's DNA. It's just not. I mean, these guys, you know better than me. These guys just want to play. They just want to get out there and skate and score and hit.
It was one of the most intriguing parts about this year was whether we would see it for the first time in our game because of the schedule and the Olympic Winter Games. And I'm happy to say we probably got through the part where you would see it most, because now the games rise in value. 2 points is still 2 points, but it feels like four.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of games there are. I mean, it's and what we're seeing too is, like, with the schedule as intense as it was, travel between, particularly now and even after the break, travel is so vastly different. For instance, Edmonton and Vancouver do not go east again. They're done. So they're going to stay, you know, in two or three time zones, as opposed to having to go back to the east again. So that will change, I think, a lot of philosophy. I mean, the Oilers, if you look at the Oilers from a pure and simple home versus road scenario, they've played 21 home games and they've played 20, 7 road games. So they're going to have a huge advantage in the second half of the season with the amount of home dates that they're going to play.
Yeah, Vegas comes out of the Olympic break playing in LA, and then they go to Washington. it's part of it, like a 5-game road trip that goes from coast to coast. Talk to your buddy Steve there.
No, I'm in the queue. I'm in the queue a little longer because because every manager's phoning to complain. Yeah, so.
Exactly. We got Don Waddell coming up, the general manager of the Columbus Blue Jackets. We'll get into the change and what he's looking for from his team, why he made the coaching switch now. It's 100% Hockey with Ballard and Shannon. Stay with us.
With the NHL app, you can listen to every NHL game right from your phone. And with home and away broadcast feeds, you choose your way to listen.
And he scores!
Whether you're at work, at the gym, or stuck in traffic, the NHL app puts you right in the action all season long. Every team, every game, everywhere you go. Download the NHL app and never miss a moment.
100% Hockey continues with the general manager of the Columbus Blue Jackets. I saw you last week, and I'll be honest, you weren't your normal gregarious self. You looked like you were struggling with something or having something work through your brain, and now I know why you made the coaching change.
Yeah, you know, it's been a few weeks here in the making. You know, some of the losses, we're just having a hard time explaining and listening to my players, you know, talk to the media and then speaking with them directly. You know, I just felt that, you know, if we're going to give ourselves a chance, we just needed a new voice back there, and decided on Monday to make the switch. And very fortunate that Rick Bowness said yes to me, and we move forward.
In all your time in this league, was that the fastest signing of a coach you've ever been around? When you think about the phone call, Rick's on the boat with Judy, and within 2 minutes, you have a new coach?
Yeah, well, it's just two things. One is fastest I've ever hired a coach and let a coach go. And then by far the fastest I ever hired a new coach. And luckily he said yes, because otherwise, who knows who would be coaching our team right now.
Well, so that was a short conversation with Dino?
Yeah, you know, I thanked him. Obviously, last year, Dino did a great job. Obviously, we had a lot of circumstances, as we all know, around our team, and he kept our team going. And for some reason this year, you know, things changed. And then, you know, I don't know if the message wore out or what. I can't give you a pinpoint it. You know, we talked a lot during the year, you know, especially the, you know, our first two periods were +5, +8, and third period were -22 or -23. We just couldn't, there's no explanation of why our team was. You know, and I always say, first thing I do is look in the mirror. You know, are we not as good as I think we are? You know, and just talking to people on my staff and talking to players, they all felt that we were a better hockey team. And so, you know, to give ourselves a chance, we just felt that, you know, it's time to go. And, you know, I thank Dean for what he did and hope the best for him in the future.
How good are you?
Well, I think we're good enough to compete for a playoff spot. You know, if you go back and look at our record, we had 10 games where we lead by at least 2 goals in the third period and won 3 of them. And the bad part about that, well, a lot of them were against in our own division. You know, we had Pittsburgh here on the 4th or so of January. We're up 4-1. You know, we ended up losing that game, you know, instead of we would have closed it to 4 points at that time, and you lose the game and give them the 2 points, and, you know, now you're chasing it again. So anytime you have that opportunity, particularly within your division, and you're trying to gain spots, you know, those are big games. Same thing happened on New Year's Eve. We had Jersey, we're up 2-0 going into third and ended up losing 3-2. So, you know, not only how we were losing, but who we were losing to didn't help.
So I just out of curiosity, from a timing perspective, when after the new year, did you first think that, wow, I might have to do something drastic?
Yeah, just watching us, you know, probably starting on that New Year's game, only because I knew what happened in the past few months. You know, it wasn't that we gave up a 2-goal lead on New Year's Eve. It's been happening a lot to us. And so, you know, you start looking for answers. And, you know, we came back and had a big win against Buffalo. They had won 10 in a row and won 5-1. And you hope that, you know, that gets you going. And it's not that you have to win every game, but it's how you play every game. And then we followed that up the next day with, like I said, with a 4-1 lead and losing to Pittsburgh. And then we went out west and, you know, we lost to San Jose, Vegas, obviously Colorado. And, you know, at that point, I just said, you know, we have 12 games left, or 13 at that point, but 12, we get home and 8 of them at home. If we're going to do something, I really feel like we probably need a new voice. And if we continue this way to the Olympic break, then we could be out of it. And so that's when the decision was made to move forward.
Where does the difference have to come from, tactically or emotionally?
Well, I think it's a little probably of both. You know, it's making your team believe that they're a good team, first of all. And, you know, as Rick has said, you know, we're going to play every minute the same way for 60 minutes, and we're going to play hard every one of those minutes. And Rick's a big communicator. You know, he's very vocal on the bench, has lots of meetings with the players already, not only with the group, but one-on-one. So the communication is one of Rick's real strengths. And I think that was one of the things that we needed. And then, you know, we need to change some things up. And, you know, we've gone 2 games. We haven't started working our penalty killing yet. We've given up 4 goals in 2 games, and they've all been on the power play. But 2 games, we haven't given up a 5-on-5 goal yet, which is nice to see. Now, saying that, Elvis in the first period was great last night and made some big saves. But, you know, defensively is what his focus is, you know, cutting down on. It's not so much the shots against. You know, we all talk about shots against. It's quality shots. You know, we were one of the worst teams in the league in slot opportunities. Like, we were 28th. And, you know, now you go from giving up 14, 15 chances in the slot to 6 the other night and about the same last night. So, you know, the quality, it's not number, it's the quality of shots that we got to cut back on. And certainly in the first 2 games, we've done that.
And what were you hearing? Sorry, go ahead, John.
No, you go, Darren.
I was just going to say, what were you hearing from your players when you listened to their media interviews and then in conversation with them?
They're very frustrated because they all believe, you know, as I talked to them, they all believe that we're a much better team. And they like me at first, you can't put your finger on it. If we all could put our finger on it, we would, you know, do it and make us better. So, you know, I could just tell the frustration, and then had some leadership come to me and talk to me about it. And, you know, watching some of our younger players, you know, not progress like we like them to progress. Combination of all those things just put us in a situation where that we felt that if we're going to try to salvage something out of the season, that the change was needed.
So was that you soliciting that from them, or were they being proactive?
Oh, a little bit of both, but at the end it was more proactive. Just, you know, nobody was saying fire the coach. That players don't do that. They were just concerned about, you know, the direction we were going right now and that. But, you know, I've been around a long time, as you have, John, and I could read between the lines of what they were telling me. And, you know, I had some good hockey people on this staff, and Rick Nash and Chris Clark, and, you know, they've been around too, and they've seen it all. And, you know, obviously I don't sit on an island when I make these decisions. You know, you trust the people that you hired and have around you, knowing that they're very capable of being part of these kind of discussions. So I think when we met and talked on this, I think we all came to the same conclusion that if we're going to try to salvage, we need to make a change.
So this is such a really, in many ways, a small business, Don. We seem to all know each other for a long time. But I was trying to connect the dots on how you would know Rick Bowness. And where did your paths cross before? I mean, I know he goes to games in Florida, and the Blue Jackets had played in Florida. I mean, where did you know of Bowness other than observing him from afar?
Yeah, like you said, I did see him this year. It's the first time I saw him, and since he had retired down in Florida this year, he was at the game. But it goes all the way back to, I believe, 08, where I really connected Ryan, his son, who's now the assistant GM, with the Islanders. I hired Ryan. I gave him his first job in pro hockey. And he worked for me in Atlanta for a couple of years. So I got to know the family then. You know, when Rip was coaching, he'd come in town. We'd you know, get together and just chat because, you know, it was such a tight family. So that's where it all started, getting to know him. And then obviously then over the years, seeing him at all the rinks and different spots. You know, so that's where the relationship started.
And whose idea was it? Whose idea was it to go ahead, John?
No, I just to follow that up, we had Rick on the show last Wednesday, and no inkling, right? There was nothing, but he and Ryan obviously talk a lot. Now there's going to have to be less talk between two teams in the same division.
Yeah, it's interesting because Ryan was at our game last night and he had texted me on Monday and said, this game's been on my schedule for 2 weeks. I'm doing a trip in the East. It just happens I'm coming to Columbus on Thursday and now my dad's coaching. So we had a good chat after the game. Obviously, Ryan came down to see his dad and we had a good chat. But yeah, we are competitors. I don't think they're going to share too much information. We might know more about them right now because, you know, Rick was at work and I'm sure Ryan and him talked a lot, but we haven't got that far to discuss that.
Whose idea was it to just do the rest of the year, with Rick's contract?
Yeah, it was kind of joint, you know, when I called him and he heard the story, he was on his boat with his wife, Judy. And I said, you know, after some small talk, do you miss coaching? He said, yeah. I said, do you want to coach my team the rest of the year? And he said, hell yeah. And he said, let me call you back in 10 minutes. Let me talk to Judy. Well, that 10 minutes was really 3 minutes. He called me back and said, he's all in. He said, yeah, let's just do the rest of the year. Let's see if it's a good fit for me and good fit for you guys. And then we'll figure it out after that. So it was kind of mutual, and I respect that. And obviously he said, all I want to worry about right now is making the playoffs. And so that's where we're at.
So nothing on paper that suggests that an option one way or the other?
Nope. Straight the rest of the year contract. Yeah.
And where are your thoughts on the playoffs right now?
Well, we, you know, put together 3 wins. We climbed a little bit in the standings. You know, it's a lot of teams every night are winning games, a lot of 3-point games. You know, we got to take care of our own destiny. We're not going to fall into the playoffs by not winning enough games. If we can put a run together here, like I said, if we, you know, we had 12 games before the break and we've won 3 of them, you know, if you said, if you could get in that, you know, go 8-4 or 8-3-1 or something like that, I think you'd be in the mix anyways. I'm not going to say you'd be there, but you'd be in the mix and coming out of the break, give yourself a chance to get there. But saying that, you know, we have to take care of business and win those games.
100% Hockey continues with Don Waddell, the general manager of the Columbus Blue Jackets, with Millard and Shannon right after this.
Car shopping should be exciting, not exhausting. That's where Car Gurus comes in. They have advanced search tools, unbiased deal ratings, and price history, so you know a great deal when you see one. It's no wonder that Car Gurus is the number one rated car shopping app in Canada. When you're car shopping on your phone, it shouldn't be a maze. You need to see all the information. With the Car Gurus app, you can. Powerful search tools that you see deal ratings, price history, and dealer reviews on listings all in one place. And you can turn on real-time price drop alerts so you never miss a great deal. Car Gurus connects you with trusted dealerships when you're ready, ensuring a transparent, hassle-free buying process. Buy your next car today at cargurus.ca. Make sure your deal is the best deal. That's cargurus.ca. Cargurus.ca.
I was reminded the other day of the conversation that we had with you in the summer about the challenge of taking the step from out of the playoff picture into contention and then that small jump from contention to get in. And you said that small jump was going to be the hardest. It's proving out to be. What has to go your way down the stretch in the second half to make that leap?
Right. Well, you know, our veteran leadership, you know, Charlie Coyle, can't say enough things, good things about him. Obviously, Zach Werenski carries our team on his shoulders. You know, the Monahans and Boone Jenners. We know what we're going to get from them every night. We got to continue to work with our young guys. You know, Adam Fantilli's had a slow start and he was on fire there for a while. slowed down a little bit right now, playing good, just not, puck's not going in for him. KJ, Ken Johnson, you know, after 24 goals last year, real slow start, wasn't playing a lot. Now he's got new life. He's got a couple goals in the last few games, and we're going to continue to get more from our young players, put them in an opportunity position to have success. And if we can do that and get that from them, I think that's going to be a big leap for us as a hockey club.
So does this, would you suggest that between now and the Olympic break is your critical period, and then you'll decide whether you're going to be a buyer or seller at the deadline?
Yeah, and I wasn't even thinking that as much as, you know, I looked at our schedule. We had eight of our, I think we had eight and four on the road before the break. I said, you know, we had played a few more road games. So if we were going to make any distance up, it would have to be now. And, you know, I said, you know, and people have asked me, I said, you know, our position, and it was like that just, you know, right around Christmas, we had Mason Marchman, was to continue to make our team better. And we're still looking at that, you know, if things don't go that well in the next few weeks, and maybe that changes. But as of right now, any calls that I'm making or taking, I'm still looking to see if there's something that continues to help our hockey club win hockey games.
You also made a change at assistant coach. And as far as I know, Dean and Steve weren't tied to McCarthy. Why did you make that switch as well?
Well, first of all, Steve's one of the best guys I've ever been around. Yeah. He played for me in Atlanta. Great man, and worked his butt off here. We just felt that, you know, he's been running the D for the 5 years here, and our D needed probably maybe a different voice. So, you know, I feel bad that they're kind of tied together because they're not tied. You know, you make one change, you just feel like you should try to help out on the defensive side. So, you know, Steve is a class guy, and I wish him nothing the best, and he deserves to get another opportunity someplace else for sure.
You touched on the Marchment deal, which looked like a brilliant move until Mason got hurt, because he was doing exactly what you wanted to do. He had some grit and he was scoring goals. How difficult is it to make trades right now when you consider that, like, you look at the East, everybody thinks they're still in it?
Right. Well, the every talk you have is pretty much right now still player for player. There's not too many teams that are looking just to sell for draft picks. And, you know, in Seattle's case, they had some players that were injured that were coming back, so they had a little excess up front. So that's why we could, when they said they were looking for draft picks, you know, we had a stable of draft picks that we could afford, that we said, hey, for the right player, we'll move on because we want to make our team better. So we didn't have to touch anything off our team. And then, you know, we recouped those picks back when we traded Chinnikov to Pittsburgh. But, right. You know, to me right now, you know, most of the conversations are, yeah, I'll give you this player X if you give me player Y. It's not so much right now teams looking for prospects and draft picks.
There's been a lot of talk about the two deadlines, the trade freeze before the Olympics and then the actual trade deadline. Do you think there'll be some action before the Olympic Games?
I think people are trying. I go back to what I said. It's a different year because, you know, you're looking at the East, you know, who's traded in the East right now. You know, it's anybody feels like they win four or five games, you know, they're going to be in a playoff spot. You know, the West is getting a little bit more separation, but it's not, you know, there's a lot more buyers than there are sellers. Let's say that. So the guy selling, you know, may not feel that, you know, the time is right now to do it before the Olympic break. It might wait, hold out, and feel like they'll get more toward the deadline. So I think we'll see a few deals, but I'm not anticipating to be, you know, not like a trade deadline day, that's for sure.
Where are you with your goaltending?
Great after last night.
that's a day-by-day thing, isn't it?
Yeah, we live day-by-day. You know, going back, you know, we were doing a rotation the first 17, 18 games a year. Both guys were playing good. And then Elvis had some struggles and Jet played really well. But we know in this league, you know, there's very few number one guys that can play 55, 60 games anymore. There's still a few. I think most teams are relying on a two goalie system for, you know, they'll have one guy clearly play more games. But so in our case, we need both guys to be going because, you know, Jack carried the ball there for a while. You know, he's first year really in the NHL. played a lot of hockey, and he was getting tired. So, you know, Elvis had some starts. He had some tough starts. We played him in Denver. You know, he always got the back-to-back games. And so having him come back last night, he's worked his butt off. I had coffee with him out in Vegas, and just to keep his fresh, you know, his mind fresh and say, hey, just wait for your opportunity. I thought he played real well in Denver. A couple goals he had no chance on, and we put one in our own net, and we lost 4-0. So for him to come back last night, we all know he's capable of being the guy. He's had ups and downs. He's an emotional guy, and you got to keep those in check. But saying that, you know, I won't be surprised if we go back to more of a rotation system here. Obviously, it's going to be Rick's call, but you're going to need both goalies down the stretch because there's a lot of hockey yet to be played.
Don, do you look at the number of teams that you have to pass, or do you just look at the point total that you have to get to, whether that's 93 or 94? Do you have a number?
Yeah, no, I look at just the wins for us, and I should say the point totals. You know, I mean, I can't control when I can only control when we're playing games, not when other teams are playing. You know, we all watch games, we all watch the highlights, we all watch the standings and all that. But we got to focus on what we do, and what we control. I you know, it's interesting because I've heard anything from 92 or 91 to 95. You know, the points, you know, so we're probably too early to say, okay, if we get 93 points, we'll make the playoffs. It's probably too early to say that. So, again, we're going to take it day by day and just try to put up as many points as we can here.
Before we let you go, you did make one addition a couple of weeks back, and that was the addition of Lawrence Gilman, who replaces Josh Flynn, who moved to Buffalo with Yarmo. What does Lawrence offer you?
Yeah, I've known Lawrence for a long time. Never worked with him either, but I've known him a long time. I think he's a very smart guy. You know, what I was looking for is more help on the business side of the hockey because, you know, we all know it's all about winning games and that, but there's a lot of work that gets done, you know, with contracts, employee contracts. I think we have 51 employee contracts right now. So there's a lot of stuff on the, you know, CBA, cap, all that stuff where you want somebody to be, that's what they're worried about day to day. Let me focus more with Nasher and Clarkie on the team, you know, spend a lot of time with the coaches, all that. Have somebody that can, that you have the trust in that can handle a lot of parts of the business.
Is that an Aura ring that you're wearing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, what's it telling you right now? Is it better today than it was a couple of weeks ago?
I tell you, last night I went through a stretch. I'm not a sleeper. I'm an early morning guy, and I was averaging just over 4 hours a night. And last night I got 5 hours and 50 minutes, and then I felt like I slept for 24 hours. I have a saying to my, doesn't matter what time I go to bed. I'm an early guy. I'm usually up at 4 a.m. every day because I love my days. And at some point in my life, I'm going to sleep for a long time. So I'm not going to waste too many hours right now worried about sleep.
4 a.m. Oh my God. 4 a.m. Yeah. I'm just going to bed.
I'm usually in my office by 4:30, 4 to 5 every day.
Oh my God.
It actually gives me the opportunity to get stuff done because I don't have to do interviews. I don't have to deal with my staff. You know, I don't see anybody for three and a half hours. So it's actually the best. My phone doesn't ring too often. There's a few people that know I'm up early that will call me early, but it's for me. It works for me, and I've never been a big sleeper, so I'm fortunate that way. And you get your rest when you can, and keep moving.
Well, it's certainly a nicer aura around you right now with the 3 wins in a row. Appreciate it. And thanks for letting us sleep in, not doing it at 4 a.m.
you could have more time if we'd done it at 4 in the morning. You could have as much time as you want.
Good point. Thanks, Donnie. Good luck.
All right. Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure being with you.
NHL TV is now on DAZN. Hockey lives here. Watch every game from every team. The best players in the world. And the coldest plays on ice. Watch up to 4 games at once for the ultimate NHL experience. Sign up now at DAZN.
dig into what we talked about with Donnie. And thanks for joining us on Spotify, Amazon, YouTube. We're getting some great reaction on YouTube right now. I don't know what's changed there, but people seem to be finding us a little bit more. Apple Podcasts.
Well, now that the whole show is on YouTube, which we made it.
That's it.
We talked to management, and they made a corporate decision to go whole hog on YouTube. People were complaining that we weren't doing it. So, by the way, good catch by you on the Aura Ring.
Oh, thank you. You know,
that's a that was again. We if we had just done a radio interview, we wouldn't have seen that. But
yeah. do you use any like monitors? Whether it's the smartwatches or
I have one monitor. Her name is Mickey. That's it. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Walk the dog, you know?
Well, I picked up
my shoes. Have you swept the walks yet?
I do wear an Aura Ring, and I know some of the benefits of it that I lean into. So I was curious whether he tracks his, because most of the time our daily feedback is on our sleep. And I was wondering whether he was getting some feedback that had changed from a couple of weeks ago.
Well, I know. And now I know that if I'm still up at 3:30 or 4, I'm just going to text him, see if he's awake. So
I couldn't imagine waking up at 4 a.m. and staying awake. I've been up at 4 a.m. and then rolled over and gone back to sleep.
So I get about 5 hours, 5.5 hours sleep a day.
Not enough.
No, but I.
You nap?
I'm not afraid to nap either. There's nothing better, Darren, than 2:30 in the afternoon. 2:30 in the afternoon nap.
I like my 8 hours and a nap.
I would have been a great player. You know that afternoon nap. The afternoon nap on game day. I would have loved close the blinds and just soak it all in.
Well, nowadays, remember the days with roommates, and younger players still have to go through it, but the days with roommates and veterans, getting that nap in, and your buddy wants to watch All My Children, and you just want to have a nap. Yeah. Well, Another world is on, the soap opera.
You put in the earplugs, and you put in on the blindfold, and life is good. So, Don, you're close to Dean. You like Dean. He's a friend of yours. It's funny, and then with what our conversation with Rick last week, this just came out of the blue for me. I think it came out of the blue for Rick too.
Well, just so many highs and lows this season that you kind of just ride out, knowing that the flat spot is going to turn into a run. And Columbus has been really good at that this year. Not a lot of win loss, but three or four wins, three or four losses, that kind of thing. I just thought it would even out.
I have never seen a franchise, and this is pre-Waddell as well, that has had more injuries than the Columbus Blue Jackets in the last decade. The amount of injuries that have plagued the Blue Jackets, and then compounded, obviously, with the tragedy of Johnny Goodrow. It's almost like the franchise for the longest time was cursed. It's almost like it was cursed. And, you know, you have to find a way to fight out of that. The fan base in Columbus has been fantastic. And they have been so loyal to the Blue Jackets. And I think that, they needed to try to find a way to re-engage with the fan base quickly. Because they still have a chance to make the playoffs. It's going to be hard, but they still have a chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah, they weren't able to take advantage of the talents of Rick Nash, and now they've got Zach Werenski. You don't want to let those best years slip through your fingers.
And Adam Fantilli and Kent Johnson are really, really good young players. Really good young players.
Elvis Merzlikens was not good for a stretch, and that did create a huge challenge for him. And then those leads that got away from them, it just wasn't necessary.
No, you're right. Yeah, and that, the incongruity of why the Blue Jackets were not performing at a level, particularly in the last 3 or 4 weeks,
Just in the third periods. Like, that's where it was. They had leads. Yeah. They had leads here in right. Vegas and weren't able to hold on to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. So
locking it down was funny. You got to talk to management about us locking it down. And I hear our manager is a real jerk.
No, he's Mr. Affable is what he is.
I'm fortunate that he doesn't listen to the product, and maybe, and that's one of his faults, but he is just a absolute mean ass. What's his name again? Shannon?
we're just a little podcast trying to eke out a living. Okay. That's all we're trying to do. That's all we're trying to do. Please listen and watch. Please.
Subscribe too.
Let me put food on the table.
Help John.
I'm not
get to tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right.
John's looking for tomorrow. He's not looking for next year.
Well, for tomorrow. Donnie Riddell said we're playing for today.
He understands 100% hockey, doesn't he?
All managers do.
Enjoy your weekend, friend. We'll see you on Monday on more from 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.